Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris, coming to you from our Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, and also out there on the Sun and Vision radio networks. We'd like to thank the folks over at Painted Hills Natural Beef for help making this show possible. Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef the way nature intended. You know something? We've got a guy today that I have not talked to before. I've been looking forward to it. Bill Gillespie from Smokin' Hogs. He's the pit master there. Bill is also the author of Great Charcoal Grilling on a Weber and the Smokin' Bacon and Hog Cookbook and Secrets to Smoking on Weber Smoky Mountain Cooker, and other smokers. Bill and his team there at Smokin' Hogs were world champs at the Jack in 2011 and the Royal in 2014. So that's all very cool. Also, before we talk to Bill, I'd like to welcome a new affiliate, 1170 Talk KFAQ in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We thank them for letting us share this time with you every weekend. So let's not waste any more time. Bill, welcome.
JT, thank you. Happy to be on the show and looking forward to having a good time today.
We always have a good time, man. No matter what happens, we have a good time. So I guess the first question is, how did you come up with the Smokin' Hogs, H-O-G-G-Z?
I was on another team back in 2005 through 2008. And, I learned a little bit through there. And at the end of 2008, I was ready to kind of jump out and do my own thing. And sitting around with my wife, my girlfriend at the time, wife now, we were just trying to come up with names and logos. And somebody said, I had a small little offset smoker.
Sure.
And somebody had said, it would be kind of cool to ride that thing like a motorcycle, Smokin' Hogs. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. I said, but just to be different, I didn't want to just H-O-G-S. I wanted it to be a little different than the norm so we could kind of stand out. And I said, how about H-O-G-G-Z? And they're like, yeah, I like that. That sounds good. And that's basically the story behind the spelling of the name.
Were you a motorcycle guy to begin with?
No, the funny thing is I'm not. I just, enjoy smoking, and just
sure.
One of my buddies was just like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to do that. So our very first logo was actually a pig riding the offset like a motorcycle. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. So in your background, Bill, and forgive me because we've never talked before, so I'm going to get all this stuff for our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow up doing barbecue? Did you grow up doing smoking barbecue?
Yeah, not so much barbecue-wise, but, growing up cooking a lot on the charcoal grill with my father and stuff.
Sure.
He was in the Army for 20 years. He was stationed over in Germany two or three times, and they used to do a lot of grilling, a lot of cookouts, and they'd have those big, long open charcoal pits, and
yeah,
that's what he learned on. And then, when I was of age, or, five or six or whatever, from what I can remember, just cooking on a charcoal grill in the backyard. And it just kind of went from there, going into Boy Scouts, learning to cook over the open fire. I just love to cook. So it just sort of felt natural,
You know, what's interesting to me, Bill, is your story is similar, not exactly the same, but similar to a lot of people, excuse me, that I talked to. That was one of the few times when they were kids that they got to spend time with their dads was at the grill.
Yep.
And
some memorable times, definitely.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. My dad couldn't cook. We always claimed he couldn't boil water without burning it. But, you know, it was one of those things where there was that quality family time. And I think that permeates into the situations today. Even if you're at a competition and you're cooking, it's still kind of your team is kind of your family, and you get along with most of everybody on the other teams. You're just having a good time. I think that's what's kind of cool about all this.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, and another good story is we grew up in a pretty tight neighborhood, and every summer they would have this annual neighborhood cookout with lobsters, you know, steaks, hot dogs, burgers, and it was like an all-day, all-night affair. And it was just, you know, one of the Saturdays during the summer, and the whole neighborhood would get together and do that.
I got to tell you, I've been to Massachusetts several times. I've been to Boston a number of times. I've brought lobster home fresh. I went and picked them out myself out of some big tanks and checked my briefcase so I could make sure the lobsters got through O'Hare without somebody typing them there, you know, like that.
Yep.
And I just love that area of the country. New England and all that is terrific. Now we'd probably have to have a discussion and a beer over, you know, your Patriots versus my Seahawks out here, but
I know, right?
but it would be fun. It would be fair.
Yeah,
it would be
definitely.
Fair.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Now New England's it's a great region. You know, we're slowly getting on the map, on the barbecue map. But I mean, if you're looking for a great seafood, I know the Northwest has some awesome seafood.
Yes.
But New England area is right up there with it, with the lobsters and the clams and the mussels and all that stuff. You know, I mean, it's just, you can't go to a cookout. At least I don't go to a cookout with there not being some sort of seafood along with the barbecue or the steak or whatever.
Oh, you've got to have it. I mean,
definitely.
You know, I have friends that live in the New England area and kind of more so maybe a little bit further south than you, but I, you know, when I talk to them, and they've always got lobster, doing something with lobster during the summer times and stuff. And I'm just like, so jealous, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, we've got great crabs and we've got clams and we've got mussels and we've got great salmon and all that stuff. But that lobster deal, man, that is just, geez, that's just a killer. So you roped your wife into helping you do this?
I did. Yeah. So, before we got married, before I started this team, I was on, like I said, I was on another team, and, there was a contest we were going to up in Maine. It was at a farm. And I said, do you want to come? I said, well, you know, she had never spent the night in a tent. So this was going to be a first experience for her. And so we went up, and I just remember it being super hot. It was in the, you know, the high 90s. It was just very, very hot. And, you know, the night the cold ones are going down really easy. And you know, we were up until maybe 3-4 in the morning. The two of us slept in a tent. And she woke up the next day, and I thought she was going to be like, that's it, I'm done. She's like, oh, my God, this was awesome. When are we going to do this again? And I'm like, sweet.
Yeah. Well, evidently you didn't get any bad ice that night.
Yeah, no, right. That's for sure.
I've been there where you've gotten bad ice, and it's not fun the next morning like that. What's your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, boy. I like cooking steaks. One of my favorites is a ribeye. I just enjoy it. You know, I know there's a new, the SCA, the Steak Cook-Off Association. And, you know, I mean, that's fun and everything, but I just like to cook a steak on a grill, basically.
There's something about that sizzle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, put the taste and stuff aside, but there's something about that sizzle and a good, you know, 10, 12, 14, 16, whatever, however big you want them ounce, ribeye on the, and when you flip them and they've got a nice grill mark, which isn't that important, but it's still a nice mark, and you do that and the fat's kind of crackling and it's turning, you know, like that. That is, I think that, you know, makes people more hungry than anything else you can put on a grill.
And you had mentioned the grill marks. And while I love the grill marks, I think they look great.
Yeah.
I actually prefer, I have grill grates, so I flip them over so you have a flatter surface.
Sure.
And I cook them directly on that. So you get the whole sear across the entire steak. So you get that nice caramelized fat.
Yep.
Flavor, and I think it's just another experience, to be honest with you.
It's like a great maple bar, but it's better for you, you know?
Yes, exactly. Right.
We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Bill Gillespie of Smoking Hogs. We're going to talk about his cookbooks and his competition in just a couple minutes, so please stay with us.
Trying to boogie-woogie down Route 66.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Have you heard the story of the hot dog?
Hey everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Bill Gillespie from Smoking Hogs. He's the barbecue pit master there. Before we talk to Bill, if you would like to email us, it's very simple. It's bbqbarbecue@salempdx.com. If you would like to go on Facebook, you can do Barbecue Nation with JT. Also, we're available on 13 different platforms out there as far as the podcast version. After we get done on the radio, we make some tweaks to the show, and it goes out on anywhere from SoundCloud to iTunes to Pandora to, all the Apple stuff, all that. So we're not that hard to find. Also, Twitter, you can find my personal Twitter account, which is CowCook57, and send me a note, and I usually get back to you. So let's talk some more with Bill Gillespie from Smoking Hogs, the pit master there. You said originally, Bill, that you were working with another team, and then you started your own, of course, like that. What prompted you originally to even consider getting into competition barbecue?
I had always liked to grill and cook outside and everything. So I was working for a place, and a couple of the guys were doing some backyard events, and they were going to a KCBS event down in Cape Cod and asked if I wanted to tag along with them and help them out. And I'm like, yeah, sure. This is great. This is, sounds like a fun time. So I packed a cooler of beer and brought one of my smokers with me. And I had a small little Brinkman bullet style smoker. It was the first cooker I had. So I brought that with me. And there were the four main categories, the chicken, pork ribs, pork shoulder and beef brisket. And
right.
They added a fifth category, and it was anything but you had to include cranberries just because.
Sure.
Cod, the whole cranberry thing. So at the time I was messing around with grilled salmon. So I did it, turned it in, and got fourth place. My very first contest, and that was basically my hook. That got me addicted to it, to competition.
You were stuck.
Oh, absolutely.
You were stuck. They put a harpoon in you, buddy.
They certainly did.
And you couldn't get away from it after that.
No. It basically took the place of my Sunday morning softball.
There you go. There you go. Well, let's talk about your books a little bit. You've written three books that I know of.
Yep.
You're Smoking the Hog book.
Yep.
The Bacon and Hog Cookbook, Secrets to Smoking on the Weber in that, but I guess, how long did it take you? I mean, I interview a lot of people that have written books, and
yep.
It takes it's a big effort. It's not something you do just kind of slap it together.
That's funny you mentioned that. So yeah. So the first book, the Smoky Mountain book.
Right.
So I got approached in January of 2014 about writing a book. There was another team from Massachusetts, IQ, Chris Hart and Andy Husbands. They actually won the first team from the Northeast to win the Jack, and they won it in 2009. So we won it in 2011. 2013 was the 25th anniversary, so they invited back all the past champions. Well, Chris was there with his publisher and introduced me to him. So fast forward to the January, I get the email asking if I wanted to write a book. I'm like, okay, this sounds like a good idea. So I signed the contract, send it in February, and he's like, yeah, you have until May 1st to get the 100 recipes in the book to us. So I have 2.5 months to do it. So thankfully, I had about 25 recipes or so already kind of like tucked away.
Right.
And so I brought on board a judge, a barbecue judge friend of mine, who's also a writer. And I said, hey, I got some good news and bad news. Good news is I got an opportunity for you to help me write a book. I said, the bad news is we have until May 1st to do it. He's like, okay. So him and I buckled down. We met probably 4 or 5 times a week, writing recipes, writing content, cooking, doing all this stuff. I mean, we really, really hammered down. And we got the book done, and we have over 125,000 copies in print right now.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I don't know if most people know this, but if you write a book and you're, you know, not a self-published book, but one through a publisher,
yep,
and do that, this is an old number, Bill, so forgive me. You might know the new number, but if you sell 10,000 books, you've done very well. And especially in cookbooks. Because there's a gazillion cookbooks and, you know, barbecue books and what they all fall under one umbrella, which is the cooking category. If you sell 10, and in the old days it used to be 7,500, you know, they figured that was a great deal. And you've sold, what'd you say, 125,000?
I think so. Since the book has come out, there's been 125,000 or so in print.
There was a guy named Covert Bailey. He was an MIT grad from up in your area.
Okay.
And he was a nuclear engineer kind of guy, brilliant guy like that. He was a real kind of quirky guy. He was real funny, though. And he came and spoke to a meeting I was at one time, and he was talking about writing books. And this should give people some sort of incentive, maybe. But he said, you know, when you write a book, you make about $1 a copy, or he did. And then he looked at you and he said, but it's not bad when you sell 1.5 million of them, because he wrote a book called Fit or Fat, and it was the big wave back in the late 70s and early to mid 80s, and it was all about metabolism and all this stuff. And I thought that's always stuck with me. You know, I wrote a book. I wrote a book once. I think we sold my mom bought a bunch of copies, but you know what I mean?
You're pretty much right on the buck a book thing. But there's also, if you sell, they have a thing called, high volume, high discount. So there's catalogs that will buy, say, 15,000 copies. Well, they're buying it at a discounted rate, so you're really not getting a buck a book. It's more like 35 cents a book at
right.
that point.
Right.
So, vague.
There you go. We got to take another break. I'm way over on this break, but we'll be fine. Bill Gillespie from Smokin' Hogs Barbecue, and I'll be back in just a minute. Please stay with us. You're listening to Barbecue Nation. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Oh, miles and miles of Texas. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and you're listening to us here on the Sun and Vision Radio Network. Today we're talking with Bill Gillespie of Smokin' Hogs, a barbecue pit master there. We'd also like to say hi to our friends over at Painted Hills Natural Beef. They keep the beef going, and we're going to have Will Homer on, the president of that, in a week or so, talking about, you know, you've heard the news, the food supply and the chain of delivery and all that stuff. Well, he's going to come tell you some real facts, not stuff that was kind of contrived by the other aspects of the media. So let's get back and talk to Bill Gillespie here a little bit from Smokin' Hogs. What's the toughest thing you have to face when you're going to a competition, Bill?
I think the other competitors, you know, there's a lot of good competition out there, and you know, you need to be on your A game every single time. It's not like it was 10 years ago where, you know, you could maybe get a fifth place call and something and end up winning the competition. You need at least four top tens to even be considered for the top three overall these days. The competition is just, I think it's just blown the roof off. And, you know, it's I think it's bringing your A game every competition is probably the hardest thing to do.
And what about your selection of products? There's a lot of guys we talk to that are in the competition end of things, and they've got certain products. One guy last year was telling me he used Smart Chickens. I told him I'd never heard of a Smart Chicken.
But, right.
But, you know, jokes aside, they're mm-hmm. very serious about the types of, you know, briskets or shoulders or ribs, whatever they choose. Yeah. What do you use?
Yeah, so I use Snake River Farms briskets. I use Compart Duroc pork for my ribs and pork butts. And for chicken, I go back and forth. I've been using Springer Mountain Farms chicken. It's a kind of a like an all-natural, organic chicken.
Sure.
But yeah, that's basically what I do, what I use.
Hmm. And have you been with those for a long time, or did you have to go through a lot to finally make those selections?
I've been with SRF. Well, I've been using SRF, I should say, for probably since 2011. Compart, I'm on my third year with cooking their products. And for the chicken, you know, like I said, it's kind of bounced around all over the place. So I've been on and off, have been using that brand of chicken, but it's that's probably my most inconsistent is the brand of chicken, I think.
Okay. And what sets your turn-ins apart from others?
I think I try to keep it simple. You know, I don't want to overthink it. I always say it's the least offensive barbecue wins,
you know. That's true.
I'm just trying to be, it turns, you know, I think everybody's taste is relatively close. I think it comes down to tenderness. If you can nail tenderness, taste, I think, follows right behind that.
Are you of the mind of, you know, it's a one bite deal and go for it in that one bite, or what's your mental approach to this?
Yeah, I'm trying to pack, you know, pack that one punch into one, maybe two bites. And yeah, just trying to give them a well-balanced piece of meat to enjoy.
Do you make your own rubs, or do you use commercial rub, or tell us about that?
I actually have a line of rubs and sauces. I have two rubs and a barbecue sauce that I sell on the market.
Did those come through trial and error over a long time, or did you just kind of keep mulling stuff around in your head until you said, I think I got this?
Yeah, I was kind of a little bit of both. You know, had some ideas. I would experiment a little bit and, you know, finally started trying to use it, you know, practicing at home, trying to fine tune everything, and until I thought it was at a good point where, you know, we could start using them.
Sure. Now let's go back to your books for a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, the other stuff you do is fine, but what would you say your success to failure ratio is when you're creating a new recipe?
like percentage wise?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, just ballpark it. I know, but
yeah,
I mean,
I'd probably say maybe 50%. Maybe I'd guess. You know, the first time it either hits or it doesn't. If it doesn't, then you go back and tweak it a little bit.
Sure.
You know, whatever the recipe is.
I know that when you're making them, and like you said, when you started writing your first book, you had, you know, 25 or 35, you know, kind of tucked away that you'd obviously perfected and liked and were using on a consistent basis. But when you have to create 75 or 100 recipes, that's a big job. And, you know, a lot of times, and I'm guilty as hell of this, is I can make it without writing it down, because I just know, you know.
Yeah.
You cook so much, you just know that, you know, okay, we need a little of this, a little of that. When you write it down, that may not be the roadmap to what you actually end up with on the plate. You have to kind of do some work on that.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because once that was my biggest hurdle was that. And once I figured out the process that, you know, each recipe needs to have a story, and then you have the ingredients list, and then you have to explain how to do it. Once I figured that process out, it got a lot easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, that process of explaining how to do something, that takes a while to figure out.
Well, you don't know whether you want to get way down deep into the minutiae of stuff, the little tiny things, or do you assume that people trying this at home can actually cook?
I think, you know, I'm hoping that they can cook, but you try to give them some details.
Yeah.
And that's a tough part. Like, what details do you really don't need to explain to somebody, you know? So it's kind of making that choice, thinking what they really want.
Well, I found the other thing too, Bill, at least on my end of the microphone here, is that I do a lot of cooking on TV, and you only have so much time. You've got, you know, 5.5 minutes, so to say, for a live segment on a morning show. So, and you've got to have your before, your middle, your finished product, the hero shot, whatever you want to call it. You got to have all that. Okay. But if I put more than 4 or 5 steps in the process of getting it from here's what it looks like when it comes out of the fridge to here's what it looks like when you pull it off the grill or the out of the oven, whatever. If you put more than 4 or 5 steps in there, you lose your audience. And
yeah, I think live, definitely.
Yeah. And then you get that. Look, this 1/8 of a teaspoon of cumin is not going to make that big a difference.
Right. Right. Yeah.
No, I was just kind of want to get your thoughts on that because, you know, you do a lot of the same stuff that I do. And I mean, you know, do you keep that in mind when you're writing a recipe, even though that may not be on television or, you know, it's like, you know, you need that?
Sometimes, you know, there's some recipes that I have, and you'll see in the books that they're kind of involved. But then there's some other ones that are very simple. So it's just,
right.
I guess it's just the nature of what you're trying to do with that particular, say, cut of beef or dish or whatever, you know?
Right. Well, I just find it interesting because, especially for people that don't have the experience yet, and I put that yet in there with a big exclamation point, because if you make it a little too complicated, you know, one or two many steps in the process, sometimes that can turn people off from.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, and I've had a couple of, you know, not so good reviews saying that some of the recipes were a little bit too complex for them. And I get it. And,
sure.
And I'm not in disagreement with them. But, you know, you're going to kind of gravitate towards an easier recipe to do. So, yeah, some of my recipes do have a lot of steps, but most of them, the majority of them don't.
Yeah, no. And I think that's really good. Very much so. Bill and I are going to take a break. I apologize. This pollen is killing me out here. Even though the studio's indoors, you know, we still get that, but I do work under a roof. Bill and I are going to be back in just a minute here on Barbecue Nation. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Bill Gillespie from Smokin' Hogs, not Hargs, Hogs, H-O-G-G-Z. And he's the pit master there. Bill's the author of three books. He's probably working on another one as we speak. And he's going to stick around for after hours, too. So what else we got? We got all kinds of stuff. But one of the things that I tend to ask people on the show is, have you smoked a penguin yet?
I have not.
Okay. Well, we got that out of the way. Got that cleared up.
I didn't know you could. Well, I guess you can, right?
I guess you could. I guess you could. And I'm not sure how it would taste, but
right.
I did see some guys a couple days ago on YouTube. Well, actually it came through on Twitter, but the film was actually on YouTube. They were cooking an ostrich.
I've seen that. Yeah. That looked interesting.
Yeah. And I saw the guy do a camel, a whole camel. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see. I think I saw that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've eaten regular camel. I don't know as it was barbecued.
Okay.
I'm just curious of how that would taste, because camel was a little stringy, a little chewy.
Mm-hmm. I've never had it, so I don't know.
Well, my friend, you're not missing that much.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
What's on your agenda this year, especially with the COVID stuff going on? I mean, are you guys scheduling some events, some cooks and stuff a little later on in the summer? Are they tentative? What's going on with you guys on the East Coast?
A lot of the stuff that was supposed to happen now in May and June and even April were all either canceled or postponed until later in the year if there was an open weekend. Up here in the Northeast, we have basically a contest every weekend.
Sure.
But now it's going to be a little challenging, because there may be two contests that you got to make a decision which one you want to go to. Which one do you like better?
Right.
I know that's usually the case out in the Midwest. They usually have three or four on the same weekend, all within, you know, say 3 hours of each other.
Right.
But, it's going to be challenging. I think this fall, that's if we even get back to it. I'm hearing that most of the stuff, even in July, is in jeopardy around this area. But who knows? You know, we don't know until it actually gets here and happens. But, you know, we're still planning. We still want to go and compete, obviously, when it's safe to do so.
Right. Here's a little clue for not only you, Bill, and your wife, but to our listeners. Yeah. I stumbled across this thing the other day. It was the COVID-19 horse race. And I don't know if you've seen it, but if you guys haven't seen it, go to YouTube, type in the search COVID-19 horse race, and you'll come up with a call. It's not a lot of stuff that especially right at the end of the call, you can't put it up over the radio, but it is so funny and well-written and well thought out. It's everything from, you know, Dr. Fauci's coming in on the inside here, you know, temporary shutdown on the outside, you know, stimulus package coming up from the rear, all this kind of stuff. It'll make your heart laugh like that.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out for sure.
You should. Do you think they'll ever, you've been there from Massachusetts, do you think that you will ever, or that the local groups will ever, like, have a seafood division?
They do every once in a while. I know, you know, there's the Northeast Barbecue Society, and that's it's not like the KCBS.
Sure.
It's more grilling events. And then, you know, they have seafood categories. you know, shrimp, scallops, whatever. But, I mean, having a dedicated seafood category, I think it would be kind of cool.
I do. Yeah. I think that would be great because people love seafood and, you know, fresh lobster on the grill or scallops, you know.
I tell you what they could replace. They could get rid of the chicken category and replace it with seafood.
I think you'd have a lot of takers on that.
Oh, absolutely. Me being one of them.
Bill Gillespie, Smoking Hogs Barbecue. He's the pit master back there. Author of a few books that I told you about, Bacon and Hog Cookbook, Secrets to Smoking on the Weber, Smoky Mountain Cooker and Other Smokers, and Great Charcoal Grilling on the Weber. So you can look Bill up. They've got a website. They've got a Facebook page. Cool stuff. And he's got things for sale also.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram, all that stuff.
And Bill's going to stick around for the after hours. So when you guys listen to the podcast version of this, if you do, you can find that. And but we want to thank him for taking the time to be with us here on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
It's no problem. And remember our motto, folks, turn it, don't burn it. Hour two is coming up in the markets that carry the second hour of the show. And for those that don't, we'll be back next week. And with another edition of Barbecue Nation, I hope you all have a great week. Take care of yourselves out there.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.